but up towards the line. Snap Decision. Whoa, what a performance. Snap Decision and Graham Waters. They never looked as if they were going to do anything but win.
Powered by The Racing Biz, your independent voice for racing and breeding in the Mid-Atlantic. On the web at theracingbiz.com. On the radio, on ESPN Richmond, it's Off to the Races. Here's Nick Hahn.
And we're literally off to the races this morning. Thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us. We have a full show. We're 2 weeks away from the Kentucky Derby. The primary workouts, if you will, anything less than a tune-up, you don't expect to see a lot of heavy works next week. So the last really full workouts are happening. A lot of them have already happened this morning out at Churchill Downs. We'll speak with Darren Rogers, Senior Director of Communications and Media, here in about 15 minutes or so about the Kentucky Derby. The lineup is set. That does not mean the field is set. We have the sequence, the order of who gets in. All the points have been handed out. We'll talk about the Lexington, recap that here in just a moment. The lineup is set for the Kentucky Derby. We'll tell you who's in at the moment and who is not. Also on today's show, the leading trainer at Colonial Downs last summer, Mike Trumbetta, will be on Frank Vespi's Living the Dream segment. We'll also go out to Foxfield, where Kelsey Cox is making preparations for the steeplechase races. I am actually up in Northern Virginia, going to head to the Middleburg races. Yeah, I told you I was off to the races this morning. We'll be at about 11:05, going out to the – never been to the Middleburg races, and I had a chance to just walk around the grounds a little bit yesterday. Another great Virginia venue with – little fanfare in terms of racing. How did the Virginia horse racing industry, I've said this so many times before, it's like you go to Kentucky, it is on the water tanks and along the interstates, very curb and gutter, white fences, pristine, picturesque. You come to Virginia, it's a little bit more rugged, and you have these venues tucked away in the hills and the canyons and the valleys and the off the beaten path, even for Colonial, for that fact. And but just great racing, and I'm really looking forward. They have a 9-race card at Middleburg. You heard in the opening there, Snap Decision, a $1 million earning horse. He'll be running today trying to defend his title in winning the Temple Gwathney last year up here in Middleburg. Let's go back to last week, and we'll talk about the Lexington Stakes. This shored up the points, the last chance to get in. A horse by the name of Hades for Joe Orsino, Jose Ortiz, they were trying to get a couple of points. They're on the outside looking in, trying to get some points. Liberal Arts, Arad Ortiz. Who's Arad Ortiz going to ride? Clips winning jockey. Who's his Derby mount? We'll maybe find that out today. The Weinstort, Luis Saez, was the favorite. But if you listened to the show last week, Byron King, he gave you this pick, Encino, with Florent Giroux aboard. Kurt Becker brings him home in the Lexington Stakes.
Encino leading the Wine Steward. The Wine Steward starts to move off the rail as they come to the quarter pole, still a length off the lead, though. Secret Chat goes to third, still five from the front. Dilger is fourth on his outside. Hades is still some 10 lengths off the lead, top of the short stretch. Encino the leader, the Wine Steward is right alongside. These two now going at it, moving into the final furlong. Gap of five more lengths to Dilger and then Secret Chat. Encino with a neck in front. The Wine Steward is second. Encino giving everything he's got. Turns back the challenge and wins the Stone Street Lexington under Florent Giroux.
Yeah, Encino finds 20 points, 20 more points, makes him the 19th horse. He's basically the last horse getting in as the Japanese entry, TO Password, will be shipping into Churchill Downs, sort of the automatic, the Japan road to the Kentucky Derby. So Encino actually got enough points there to get in. So that'll be the third Cox horse, Brad Cox, third Cox horse getting into the Kentucky Derby. If they want to go, they're unsure. They're going to make a decision this week. So we'll see if we'll have a flocks of cocks in the Kentucky Derby. Usually we get a squad of Todd Pletcher, but Pletcher looks like only has the big horse, Fierceness. That's his only horse in the field, it looks like. Wanted to also talk about a horse that Frank Vespi brought up during his segment last week and a race, the Heavenly Cause. This was only a four-horse field, but the owner, the winner, I should say, of the Heavenly Cause Stakes has a unique feat underneath them, so to speak. Let's listen to familiar track announcer Dave Rodman call the Heavenly Cause.
Sweet Child of Mine holding a narrow lead. Intrepid Dream right up to her with one furlong left to go. Intrepid Dream and Jebby Antolito gliding by. With a 16th of a mile left, they've opened up now to Sweet Child of Mine as Dr. Abby runs up between horses to try to run into second to the far outside, catching the timber. Intrepid Dream does it. A tally 6-7 lifetime now for the big mare, Intrepid Dream, in the Heavenly Cause.
Yeah, congratulations to the Connections, Intrepid Dream. 6-7 lifetime over the course of 4 years. Breaks is maiden in September of 2020. And, all those horses, he doesn't race often, but when he does, he wins. So star that horse, Intrepid Dream. Congratulations to those Connections. I've got Daryl Wood here in just a moment, but before I get to him, just to want to thank the governor. You're doing the right thing. Thank you, Governor, for putting a stop to this gray game baloney. Just letting them walk in with 19,000 machines unrestricted. How did it even get past the General Assembly to begin with? He put some, on his veto, put some measures in place, including some buffers, some limits on the number of machines, an added tax, and the buffer around the Rosies and the racetrack and the casinos. Appreciate you stepping in. You did the right thing, Governor, and keep at it, because we don't even know the impacts of this. Jay Lark says there could be a 10-40% chance. That also sounds like 0-50. I mean, 10-40% decline in revenue and HHR for an industry that creates over 5,000 jobs in Virginia, an industry that has an overall impact of $500 million. Those numbers are only going to get better next week, I think, because those are five-year-old numbers, and there's a report that's going to be coming out that will even show it that the Virginia horse racing industry is even bigger than that with the growth over the last 5 years. Congratulations, Governor. You did the right thing. Keep on going. You'll get my vote, even though I'm a Democrat. I shouldn't say that because I just lost half my audience. But anyway, appreciate you doing it. Did the right thing. Daryl, want to bring in Daryl Wood here? And yeah, I'm boxing a little bit this morning, Daryl. good morning. Shenandoah Downs is upon us, and it sounds just like you're having a great start to the meet. I've got to find my way up I-81 sometime here very shortly.
Dick, I see you're pretty fired up this morning.
I'm on a roll, yeah. the strawberries are in season. What do you, get a couple of nice juicy strawberries in me, and who knows where I'll go.
no, we're good here in Woodstock. We're starting weekend number 3 of our spring racing season, harness racing, and we've got cards today at 105 and tomorrow at 105. The horse stock picking up. We got a dozen races today, 13 tomorrow, so things are looking good. And up here now in just in the Shenandoah Valley, it's just gorgeous out, 70 degrees and sunny, and I'm sure you're getting the same weather in Middleburg today.
Yeah, it looks very comfortable. It does look like to be a great day. And, boy, I tell you, just walking around the grounds there, there's a party about to happen up in Middleburg. And not just from the liquid variety either. I mean, just a good crowd. It looks like they're going to have great conditions, set up well, and just looking forward to catching up with Doug Fout later today. Lots of nice racing action up here as well. How are things shaking up for the meet? Who are some of the early meet leaders?
You know, some of the regular victims are still at the top of the leaderboard. People like William Carter, good young driver who had got his 100th win last Saturday, 19 years old, and just kind of started driving, and he's really kicked it into gear here. But a lot of the same faces are here. Last Sunday, actually, we had literally a packed house. I wouldn't call it a sellout because with free admission, there is no sellout per se, but it was jam-packed for the Corgi Dog races and a great card of harness, 80 degrees and sunny. So that was great to get everyone motivated a little bit more, seeing a full house for harness racing and looking for more of that here this weekend.
Thank God Derby Bill is doing the handicapping there, because I don't know if I could catch up with all the racing that's going on nationally, locally, and of course with the and by the way, we will have Derby Bill for the handicapping special for the Kentucky Derby. So Derby Bill going to come in and fill a very familiar seat on this show in handicapping the Triple Crown for us. But how's the crowd's been good? You need to have those English Bulldog races up there, waiting for them.
No, crowds are good, and we're looking forward to, especially this year, Derby Day and Preakness Day, because for the first time ever, we are going to offer full card simulcasting on the Churchill card and the Pimlico card. So fans in anywhere from Charlottesville to Harrisonburg to Winchester have not had this experience to be able to bet here in the Valley ever before. So we're looking to really blow it out those 2 days, May 4th and May 18th, and it's hard to believe we're 2 weeks away from Derby Day right now, so it's coming up fast.
Yeah, it really is. Triple Crown, and then 2 weeks into the Preakness. And don't forget, everybody, this year, the Belmont's going to look a little different on your TV screen that's up at Saratoga this year. So, the Triple Crown. And Maryland's getting their act together. So, yeah, nationally, it seems like racing is on the up.
Yeah, so I was going to just a reminder for that, Nick, that if you can't get to the track here in Woodstock, which is a gorgeous setting, by the way, we've got programs available for free. We've got tip sheets on our website, ShenandoahDance.com. You can watch the streaming of the races right there on the website as well. And, of course, wagering available on all the major online betting platforms, every Rosie's site in Virginia and other places around the country. So we're trying to get our product out there. Free programs at ShenandoahDance.com.
105 post time Saturday, Sunday. No, all you need is a little bit of go-go juice because there's free admission and free programs. Absolutely right. Daryl, have a great day. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. We'll be a week away from Derby by then.
Stay fired up.
All right. Daryl Wood joining us from Shenandoah. Up in Woodstock, Virginia. I'm up in Gainesville at the moment, not far from Middleburg, where they're setting up for the Middleburg races this morning. I had the opportunity to talk to the proprietor, Doug Fout. He's running the show in Middleburg today, and this is how he sees the steeplechase season setting up here with the start of the Middleburg races.
Well, it's always exciting because the best part about it, everybody uses our races here to prep for other bigger races coming on further down the road, and we always get a load of horses. That's why we end up splitting the maiden race. They wanted us to split two races, but I couldn't do it. It's always a good show. We always get some of the best horses in the country to run here, so I'm always excited to have it done. Excited and nervous all at the same time, because I want to make sure everybody has a good day.
Yeah, you look at the Middleburg Hunt Cup, 3¼ mile over timber. You have a field of four in this race, including Skudik.
Yep.
But Skudik, I guess, is not cross-entered. So you have Snap Decision coming in the race, just followed the third and fourth at Temple Guathney, the big one, the grade two. Pretty happy with the field that's shown up. Jack Fisher bringing five horses.
Yeah, for the Temple Guathney, which is our big stake race, yes, I'm absolutely tickled to death because Jack's always good. Snap won here last year. Jack's always good and a mentor to come in here to Middleburg Spring Races and supporting us, and then have the quality horses that he's bringing here just shows to go you what he thinks of our race course and stuff. So we're pretty excited about having him bring all those horses and prep here, you know, to go to Iroquois and other places. And so it should be a great day of racing.
For those who haven't been to Middleburg, Middleburg is sort of a legendary place in horse racing in terms of the heritage and the history of racing. For those that have never been, what might they expect to show up at the Middleburg races?
Well, we're very much of a more of a country type race course. We look at the our race course sits in a bowl like an amphitheater. No matter where you stand, how inexpensive ticket you bought a fancy ticket, you can see every piece of the race course, and you're looking towards the Blue Ridge Mountains, and it's just it's a beautiful countryside to be in, and it's very unique. It's more boutique than anything, and we have a lot of picnic parking, people with tailgates and stuff, and everybody can walk around. You can walk around the stables, you can walk around the paddock, and you can go pretty much anywhere and enjoy a beautiful countryside and the scenery and get to enjoy the races and be able to watch, see everything. That's the key thing here. This is one of the few race courses, no matter where you stand or where you are, you can see every bit of the race course while it's running.
How about these horses coming in? They're usually past thoroughbred horses, previously thoroughbred on the track. They get reconditioned, retrained to go over jumps. What makes a mediocre thoroughbred a great jumper?
The ability to be very finesse over the jumps. You know, the hurdle fences, they're jumping, running over 3 feet 9 inches, and then the timber fences range anywhere from 3'6" to 4'4". So the agility of the horse running and jumping and getting in a good rhythm is what makes it majestic to watch them race and run. And yes, 90% of these horses have run on the flat before at major racetracks, and then a lot of them are simply just bred to jump, and they'll run at the point-to-points, and some of them have never run on the flat at the major racetracks, but they'll run at the point-to-points to get schooled and get the education and then come straight to the steeplechasing. So that's why the point-to-points have been such a backbone for the regular national hunt meets, because it gives the experience for young horses and people to get the horses together. So
one of the races, I believe I have this right, is named after your father. You know, tell us about the meaning of that race and just being a key player with an event like this.
Yep. So my father managed this race course for like 20 years, and he passed away 17 years ago, and I ended up inheriting it. But it was my father's love to make this race course as beautiful and do as much as you could to improve the conditions of the race course and put everything together. And he also invented what we call the Alfred Hunt Steeplethon. It's a bunch of cross-country fences going 2 5/8 miles, and he got the idea from going over to France, watching all their long races over there and stuff. So his heart and soul was into making this place one of the best race courses in the United States. And so after he passed away, we put a race in the memory of my dad.
That's just great. Looking here at some of the horses here, I recognize so many Giants fame,
sure.
And so many of them that raced even at Colonial Downs. It was the Bofa Kid here, just looking to break their maidens all over again. It's kind of like starting over for some of these horses.
You know, that's what makes steeplechasing so good, because it gives a horse, you know, a second chance to prove how good they are running and enjoying a game and stuff. And that's why steeplechase gives these flat horses that run out of their conditions and stuff and everything another chance, another life to enjoy racing and do a different type of skill. And then, you know, then after that, even when the steeplechase horses get done, most of these horses are made into fox hunters afterwards, or show horses. So, you know, it gives them a good life for these horses to do what they're doing.
Yep, that's certainly a next step for so many of them in terms of aftercare off the racetrack. Well, Doug, we appreciate you spending some time with us this morning, and have a great day at the races today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Doug Fout looking for a big day here at the Middleburg races, the spring races. So hope everything's going to work out fine today. Looking forward to our next guest. We're going to get into a little bit of a bigger race, perhaps, the Kentucky Derby. And joining us from Louisville, Kentucky, is the Senior Director of Communications and Media, making his annual appearance on Off to the Races. We try and get him early because it only gets worse from here. Right, Darren?
Tick tock, Mick. It's Derby o'clock is right around the corner. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I love the emails that you send out in the morning. Let maybe just start here. We'll go through some of these horses. I'll try and get through the whole list as we know it now at some point in the show. But just horses on the grounds at Churchill Downs. Where can people maybe see like the works and find out about the horses as we're 2 weeks out away from Derby?
Well, today was the first day of the special training period from 7:30 to 7:45 for the Oaks and Derby contenders. And that is streamed live each day on any of the Churchill Downs social media channels. Best, easiest way to find it is go to YouTube and search Kentucky Derby. You'll see that live stream starting at 7:25 daily, leading up to the race. We had a plethora of activity today on the grounds as we had 12 horses that are either in the Derby or the Oaks record breezes this morning.
Yeah, and I went through the workout list. I just had to chuckle a little bit. there's a horse I'm rapidly falling in love with, and this is this Lucas horse. I think my head may have hit the ceiling when I heard Lucas comment about the sheer size of this horse when he was being interviewed by Jenny Reese earlier in the week. 17 hands, 1,300 pounds. Lucas, 88 years old, showing up for the Kentucky Derby again with an absolute tank. I mean, tell us, what do you know about his horse here, Just Steel?
Well, you're not kidding. He is a tank, and it's hard to believe that, you know, as a two-year-old, he won the 6.5 furlong Ed Brown Stakes at Churchill Downs, because I don't think you're going to see him winning many sprint races in the future with the size as big and tall and heavy as he is right now. He had a very unique workout this morning, working 1 mile. He encountered several planned, and then there were some unplanned workmates. He began the work by himself until he got to the outside of the 5-furlong pole with his stablemate. Daily Grind joined him on the inside, and then that duo was briefly joined by a set of workers from the Norm Cassie barn at the half-mile pole. So by the quarter pole at the top of the stretch, they were able to get separated and finish their work together, and Jeff Steele completed his fractions of 13-2, 37-1, 49-2, and 113-4. The final mile time was 140 flat. So he's a big, strong colt, as you said. Wayne Lucas told us this morning that he's got a pedigree that he thinks he'll have no problem getting a mile and a quarter, unlike many of the horses in the race. And Wayne gave us one of those great lines, you know, we have the opinions, horses have the facts. They have the brilliance to show that ability doing things at distances we probably shouldn't be the best for them. So Wayne's a character, and we're thrilled at age 88 he's getting an opportunity to vie for his fifth Kentucky Derby victory.
Before I came on the air, he was the only horse to go a mile this morning among 100 or so that were
oh, yeah, you don't see that often. You don't see it often. You know, a lot of horses, you know, it is important to note when you are watching those morning workouts, you know, horses are always taught to run through the wire. They very, very rarely do you see horses work right to the wire and then the jockey pulls them up. They work through the wire and around the turn, at least at a minimum another furlong. But watch those gallop outs, because sometimes they'll keep staying down on the horse, go out times, and you may see a 5 furlong work, but really it's a lot closer to 7/8 or maybe even a mile breeze.
I still get tricked on opening day at Churchill Downs, because I go back to when it was a day event. But opening night is going to have the draw, right? So the draw will be out a full week. I remember when it used to come out like on Thursday or Wednesday. You know, we felt fortunate as racing media to get the draw on Wednesday. Now we get it a full week. I mean, you got to be excited about opening day next week.
We really are. We're looking forward to that. You know, as part of all the, you know, equine safety initiatives, last September, we began taking entries one full week in advance of the race days. It gives our, you know, veterinarians on the grounds, plus the Churchill Downs vets, along with the state vets, a little more time to know who's entered, keep an eyeball on them, a little extra careful. And so one of the benefits of that is having the Kentucky Derby draw on opening night. And we figured if it's going to be 1 week out, how can we make this an event that'll be part of the racing program? So the first race on a week from today will be at 6 o'clock at night, and we're going to do it between races 3 and 4 in the gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous new paddock at Churchill Downs. Weather permitting, of course, between races 3 and 4. So it'll be from 7:15 to 7:45. We'll bang out the draws of both the Oaks and the Derby. The undercards will be drawn earlier in the day, and racing fans will have all the information, their past performances, the programs, probably on Sunday morning when they wake up. And that's a one full week, you know, really to be able to dive into the 27 race extravaganza that makes up Oaks and Derby days.
Yeah, I forgot about the paddock. How do you forget about a $50 million expenditure, but being done? But yeah, that's right, the debut of the new paddock. Danny Gargan has two horses that work this morning. It's funny, you have all these horses on the grounds, but the two, let's just call them co-favorites at the moment, they're not officially that. Fierceness Sierra Leone coming in this week. Fierceness from Florida, Sierra Leone just down the street from Keeneland.
Yeah, I tell you what, this is really shaping up to be a very interesting Kentucky Derby. I fully expect, look, on paper, when Fierceness runs his race, he is the fastest of his crop, and he is the horse to beat. I fully expect Sierra Leone, who's been very workmanlike, to, you know, take money and will probably be the second choice. The third choice might even come from Japan with the unbeaten 5 for 5, Forever Young, winner of the UAE Derby. He is really, I can tell you, he's a star over there. The interest from the Japanese media is incredible. We're going to have probably, you know, 24 members of the media that are flying in from Japan to watch the race. Then you have a horse like the Bluegrass runner-up, Just a Touch. You've got Louisiana Derby winner Catching Freedom. It's a really nice mix of horses that are going to be either forwardly placed and in position in the first tiers, and then horses like Sierra Leone, Catching Freedom, and Honor Marie type that are going to have to weave their way through traffic and avoid any barriers while trying to rally from the back of the pack. It's a very, very interesting and fun race. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely. Darren, thanks a lot. Take care of Alan as he goes out to Louisville this year from ESPN Richmond. And we'll certainly be tracking the Derby all the way up to the race. Appreciate you coming on this morning.
Absolutely, Nick. Cash some tickets.
I like that. Darren Rogers joining us from Louisville with Churchill Downs this morning. We're going to go to break here on Off to the Races. On the other side, we got a bid up for the Preakness in 4 weeks. The Federico Tessio is today at Laurel Park. We'll get with Frank. He'll have Keith Fustel on, Mike Trombetta on the other side. Of Off to the Races, powered by the Racing Biz and Grandpa Jones, who's just 8 miles outside of Louisville.
Horses are at the gate and ready for action this spring at Shenandoah Downs in Woodstock. A big 7-week season of harness horse racing continues every Saturday and Sunday at 1 o'clock through May 19th. This Saturday, it's a blues and barbecue celebration with a 6-pack cooler giveaway, live blues music, a classic car show, the biggest horse races of the spring meet, plus Brutz Barbecue will be on site. On Sunday, enjoy $1 hot dogs and $2 canned beers. Watch, wager, and win every weekend. Details at shenandoahdowns.com.
Nothing compares to a horse. They inspire greatness, command respect. Because Virginia's horse industry isn't just racing and farming. It's built on the skills, labors, and passions of dedicated people working in every industry throughout our state. Horses fuel the economy, create jobs, support thousands of families, and even make dreams come true. Virginia's economy wins with horses. Find out more at virginiahorseracing.com.
On Off to the Races Radio, powered by the Racing Biz, theracingbiz.com. Going to do a little handicapping segment here, and this handicapping from the races at Laurel Park is sponsored by our friends at the Maryland Jockey Club. 11 race card at Laurel today, including 5 stakes. First post, 12:25. Here to help us make a little bit of sense out of it, Maryland racing analyst and Equibase chart caller, Keith Fustel. Keith, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, good morning, Frank. We're just scrambling here. We've got some scratches that came in a little bit late, but making some final adjustments, but I think we're going to make it.
Let's keep our fingers crossed. All right. I want to start at the end here with the Tessio, Federico Tessio Stakes. If you win here, you get a free square, a free spot in the Preakness coming up May 18th at Old Hilltop. And a couple scratches out of this one. Mission Beach, the 6 horse, is out. And is that the only scratch?
That's the only one I have as of right now, yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So let me ask you this as a starting question. Are any of these horses, in your mind, do any of these horses look like the kind of horse that, if they run well here, could actually jump up and have some kind of impact on either the Preakness or bigger races down the road?
They're going to have to step up. There's no doubt. I mean, and some of these have run quite a few races, so are they kind of showing really who they are? Got some nice horses here, no doubt, but definitely comparing, you know, you're looking at some of the Derby runners, yeah, they're going to have to move up, sure.
Yeah, no question. So as you look at this race, I mean, help us figure it out. Who's going to win here? What are you thinking?
Help, I need help. No, I think it's a highly competitive group. We've got, I think, like 5 runners coming out of the private turns that was contested over a sloppy seal track back on the 23rd. You know, Frank, I'm leaning towards a little bit of a price in the 3 Circle P, Flintstites, meet the Flintstites, as we like to say up in the press box. But I thought his last race was okay. He was a little erratic into the first turn, spotty in spots. He was on even terms with Copper Tax, and he probably ran about 1.25 miles in this race in the private turns. The blinkers go on. We've got Sheldon Russell. We've got an inner post, and he broke pretty well last time out. Had position early, but just lost focus. So maybe that'll bring the blinkers, will help him out, get him into the race maybe a little bit early, settle within range, and maybe he can make a run at a good number.
It's a horse that they have liked. I mean, they had entered him in the Jeff Ruby Stakes, which was a Derby points race, and he was on the outside looking in, and so they ended up in the private terms. But clearly, this is a horse that they do like.
Yeah, I think the key to this race is, you know, lots going to hinge on whether Classic Joke, I believe, goes. He's got some serious speed. He was up there in the Bayshore last time, battling on the front end. Will he keep speediness, you know, on alert early? And if so, does that set things up for a horse that could make that run from off the pace? Maybe Celtic Contender goes a little bit as well, but his speediness clears off early. You saw how he dug in last time, and he took pressure from Point Doom, and he dug in the whole way, so that extra 16th of a mile doesn't bother me terribly. Love Copper Tax is a horse. Reminds me just kind of an old salty war horse. He's only three. Just the way that he goes, you give him a target. He got back home last time and got on familiar ground and really made a nice run to get up. He's, you know, he's hindered here by the 10 post now.
Yeah, he's going to have to navigate it from the far outside. I thought speediness, as I went back and looked at it, I thought he ran really well in the private terms. I mean, he and Point Doom, that second fraction, they really put a big gap between themselves and everybody else. And Point Doom packed it in shortly thereafter, and he stayed with it all the way to the wire.
Yeah, and Kenny McPeaky comes in with a few horses today. He's got one here in the Tezio. He won last year with the he came in with that horse, it might have been private terms, and got it done. Haystrike, he got it done. Caramano's 8-1, grinding kind of style, similar running styles, no real chance in the bluegrass, supplemented to this, so it looks like they mean business here in the Federico Tezio. Another one that certainly he's kept the right kind of company, gets a little bit of relief here today.
Talking with Keith Fustel, Maryland racing analyst. And Keith, let's jump back a couple of races to the Weber City Miss. That's for three-year-old fillies. And that gets you a spot in the Black Eyed Susan Stakes the day before the Preakness. Got a couple scratches out of here. Determined Driver, the 5 horse. Aoife's Magic, the 7. You mentioned Kenny McPeak a moment ago. Shimmering Allure, he sends in last time out, ran in the Ashland, didn't run terribly in grade one company. Anybody, do we just take Shimmering Allure and move on to the next race?
I tell you, Call Another Play has been really good the last couple. Now, she does come off of Lasix. That's always a question mark for me in these races. But, boy, she's hit her best stride. And I tell you, Miss Harriet, yeah, she's going to go. Blofeld can handle her out of ground. Reading some releases about Miss Harriet, she didn't really like the racetrack at all. She's going to go out there. I do think she's going to get a little company from Grammy Girl, but Butch Reed comes in. I've got this filly pick third in my picks, but it's later in the day and she holds a little bit of price. I thought she ran really big off a long layoff, off a 2.5, wins at 2 turns, had to be rushed from the gate, dueled early, then cleared. I always respect these connections when they come down. He's, 5 for 20 the last 5 years on the dirt here at Laurel with a positive ROI. So if you're looking for that, maybe that filly to take that next step, she could be the one.
Jean Marie, I like it. That's a 15-1 morning line horse who, as you said, had run 4.5 her first two starts, turns around, runs a 1.70 off a 9-month break, and, wins. You don't see that sequence very often.
No. She's going to have to, she's going to have to make a move into Miss Harriet, I believe. And Granny Girl, she didn't really break in debut. She showed a real good flash of speed. I think she's going to be forward. Shimmering Allure, she's going to get the flow. And she's probably the best sustained run in here. Call Another Play is sharp, though, and definitely proven at this racetrack over the 2 turns.
Right, so you, it sounds like you may be taking a little bit of a swing here if the price is right on the 3 horse.
Take a little flyer, absolutely, because we don't really know how good this filly is. I mean, Carmelina ran against her in debut, so I respect this barn immensely. when they come to town and anywhere, when they go anywhere, basically.
Yeah, no, the Butch Reed operation is a very, very good operation,
yep.
No question. You mentioned call another play. Interesting factoid there. This one is a half to Future Is Now, who is the morning line favorite in the race before this, the King T. Leatherbury Stakes. We're going to have Mike Trombetta on momentarily. Do we have Mike, Mr. Producer? While we are reaching out to him, Keith, you want to give us your take on the King T. Leatherbury Stakes, five and a half.
Yeah, scratch the four, scratch the eight, yes and yes, scratch the 11, John Hall, the three horse. I'm sorry, the four horse was Groom's All Business, so I thought I had a big shot there in the King T. Leatherbury. Oh, man, tough race. There's plenty of speed signed on. Four Heart, there's another. Butch Reed runners perfect over this turf course. Can he, you know, avoid being hung out wide when propping the issue for a long way? And can he sustain if he makes that move into it? I don't know. Witty, I kind of like Witty in here. You know what you get with him. He's probably going to break a little slow, but we've got a little bit. We've got a few horses out of here, shortens the field up. He's going to be able to kind of make his move and pick his trip, I think, from mid-turn to the wire. You know he's going to bring a run. And he's run some good numbers. And there's just so much speed. I think it sets it up for a horse like Witty. Future Is Now, the filly taking on the boys. Yeah, we see the filly channel. No issue there, especially in these turf races. But she better be tied on. She's in very good form. But this is going to be a challenge, in my opinion.
All right, Keith, upsets everywhere. Like it. Follow Keith's picks on the morning show before the Laurel races, most days of live racing. Keith Fustel, thanks so much for joining me here on Off to the Races.
All right, no problem.
All right, that was Keith Fustel. We're going to switch gears now and not really switch gears, but we're going to talk to one of the trainers who's got several runners in Laurel Park Stakes today, and that is Michael Trombetta. Mike, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Frank.
How are we doing today? You could be sitting on a pretty good day. What's the feeling like in the Trombetta barn on a morning like this? A kind of nervous anticipation, or how are we approaching it?
Well, one foot in front of the other. I just got back home from the sales. I was down there most of the week, and you know, we're going to just go down there and give it our best. I'm glad the weather's cooperating, and try to continue on with some of these guys.
Let's talk about some of them. Actually, I did want to ask you one other question before we get there, just quickly. You know, it's Derby season now, and it's a number of years ago now, but you did send out a Kentucky Derby favorite a bunch of years ago. Do you, like, as it gets to Derby season, where does your brain go? Do you go back to some of those memories?
Well, it's sure. I mean, it's something that's really hard to accomplish. It's been 18 years since my first run at it. It doesn't seem like it's been that long, but it is. You know, and I got another chance, I think, in 2019, so that was all good. But, you know, every year we hope to get a young horse that can get good enough to participate and see what we can do.
Yeah, yeah. Now, let's turn our attention to today's races. You got Future Is Now in the King T. Leatherbury Stakes. Interesting horse here. I just mentioned, I was talking with Keith Fustel, she is a half to Call Another Play, who you have in the Weber City Miss. She's also a filly taking on the boys. What was your thought process on entering in this spot?
Well, hopefully it works out. This was probably more Larry's idea than mine, but I'm on board. And, you know, we were looking to figure out the best way to try to get from Florida to the very one stakes Preakness weekend.
Okay.
And we figured this is a good step in between. There's just, you know, so many opportunities and so many things that that are out there for these guys. So we'll run here, and hopefully she has a good performance. And if we don't get the proper payback today. Maybe it'll help us for the very one on Preakness weekend.
The Larry that Mike just mentioned is Larry Johnson, the owner breeder of Future Is Now, and also Call Another Play, who we'll talk about in a second. But sticking with Future Is Now briefly, this is one fast filly. I mean, two races ago, she won an allowance at Gulfstream Park and threw down an opening quarter of 20-3 and half mile and 42-3. As a trainer, you're seeing those fractions go up. What are you thinking at that point?
Well, the impressive part about it for her is that she kept going. You know, she showed up and really turned it on that day, and we were really happy with her performance. And, you know, and then we came back and we ran in the stake, and the horse that beat us in that race was, I think, at 3 in a row at that point or something. So she's been keeping pretty good company in South Florida, and we're hoping that, you know, maybe that gives us a little bit of an edge on some of the horses that haven't had that privilege over the winter months here.
Yeah, she ought to have a fitness ought not to be a problem after those last couple of races. She's entering this one in really good form, as is Call Another Play, who's in the Weber City Miss and has won two straight. Tell us about her.
Yeah, we're obviously she's going to have to step her game up a touch, but we figure she was deserved of a chance, and we'll see how she shows up. She's not like her sister. They're different types of horses, but she's been running really well, and we look forward to the opportunity.
How do you handicap this one? Do you feel like you're there is a little bit of other speed, so you ought to be able to possibly kind of sit and pounce?
My brain's been wrapped around the OBS sales for all week, so honestly, I haven't handicapped it at all. So we're going to show up and see what we can do.
All right. Fair enough. And last one you got in, you determined driver's a scratch out of the Weber City Miss, who talented filly for D. Hatman Thoroughbreds. But where might we see her next time, do you think?
We're not sure, but we're going to figure things out as we go.
Gotcha. Okay. And then you got Forever Super in the Henry S. Clark. This race often a prep for the used to be the Dixie, now called the Dinner Party. Is that kind of your thought with this one, that if he runs well, you head there?
We'll see where he takes us. You know, he's been doing really well against Florida Breds, but it's time to, you know, we're going to have to run with open company and see how we can do.
Yeah, this one comes up a little bit salty. You got three graded stakes winners in here with English B and Eons and I think Gray's Fable. So it certainly will be a little bit of a test for class, but you got to like the way this guy has been moving forward in his last several starts.
Yeah, he's done really well for us. We've been very happy with him.
He's certainly bred to be something. He's a son of American Pharaoh, the Triple Crown winner. It's got to be nice for you as a trainer. You've got Larry Johnson, you got Live Oak, who owns this horse. I mean, to have these, a lot of homebreds in the barn, I mean, I would think it's kind of a nice arrangement for you to be working with people like this. Is that accurate?
Obviously. They've been a great supplier of horse flesh for us, and they're breeding horses at mares every year, so we keep working hard, and as long as we can get some results, you know, the supply keeps coming.
That's right. Win races and you'll always have horses, right? Nick Hahn is texting me frantically to mention Colonial Downs. So are you I assume you're planning a return to Colonial, a track you've had a lot of good luck over the last few years.
Yeah, Colonial's been good to us, and we certainly will be participating there.
All right. Nick also wants me to tell you that he'll beat you in horse on the hardwood.
So. He probably could at this point, but neither one of us are getting any younger.
Well, if you meet somebody who is getting any younger, I'd like to meet that person.
No.
All right. Mike Trombetta, trainer, has several in at Laurel Park today. Mike, thanks so much for joining me here, and good luck. Maybe we'll catch you in the winner's circle this afternoon.
You're welcome. We'll appreciate it.
All right. Nick Hahn, that was Mike Trombetta, Keith Fustel. Keith taking a few swings in the races, and Mike's got some live contenders.
Yeah, I heard Trombetta's got a little bit of a jump shot, so I'm waiting to see that thing.
It sounds like he's, you know, he'll throw down the gauntlet.
Yeah, 19 wins last year at Colonial Downs, wrestling the trainer title from Michael Stidham over previous year. So, looking forward to having him back. 16 of those wins on that Colonial turf. Great job, Frank, and enjoy racing at Laurel today. Going to get good weather. It looks like the rain's going to stay away.
Yeah, the sun just came out, so I'm all in, man. Good stuff.
Great. Speed Fossils, living the dream there. In the intro, Frank Vespi joining us on Off to the Races this morning with a great guest lineup. Gee, 4 weeks away from the Preakness. So, great. Good job there, Frank. We'll talk to you next week.
Nick, have fun today out at the races.
Great. Yeah, at the Middleburg races. Want to reach back a little bit to last week. We've spent a lot of time talking about Snap Decision, who's running at the Middleburg races next week, and we're going to bring in Kelsey Cox here, the executive director of the Foxfield races. We were talking about Goodnight Shirt. Had a nice visit with Harold Sonny Vi last week, heard him on the show, and we were trying to get into Kelsey in the waning moments of the show. We figured we'd allow her a little bit more time this week. Kelsey, good morning. How is everything shaping up for the Foxfield races next week?
Good morning. A week away. Can you believe it? It's crazy. We're deep into spring race season already, and the grass is green. We've been irrigating, running water from our pond here, and getting things ready. The track looks beautiful.
Yeah, a big day. We talked to Doug Fout earlier in the year, earlier in the show, and he mentioned how a lot of these horses will come the Middleburg, and you have some big races, not only the new Goodnight Shirt race, but the old D.G. Van Cleef at Foxfield next week. Tell us how the day is shaping up and the preparations. What would happen if Sonny Vi actually wins that race? I know he's got a horse-centered coming to it. It's going to be a crazy scene in west of Charlottesville.
It's going to be fabulous. So we have 7 full races. We'll get that race card off, obviously, tomorrow, start seeing what those shape out to look like. But we have those 2 stakes races, as you mentioned. We are returning again, another wonderful year with the Danny Van Cleef Memorial, which is fantastic. That's a $75,000 purse, so we'll see some great horses entered into that race. And then our 6th race is our Goodnight Shirt, our inaugural year, as you all have heard last year or last week, hearing from Sonny and from Nick. We are really excited to debut this race. It's a tribute to a wonderful horse that was a 2-time Eclipse winner. Just a fantastic horse, great local connection to our Charlottesville area and to our Albemarle County here, celebrating great equine.
Yeah, the Foxfield races. So for those who are not familiar, we have listeners, we're in Harrisonburg and Richmond, so Foxfield, Free Union, almost at the midpoint between our two terrestrial pods, of course online on the World Wide Web at theracingbiz.com and espnradio.com. Tell us, just for fans interested in racing, obviously sort of a ride of spring thing there at UVA, but plenty of good racing action. I mean, people need to, they're at the track, they need to come see some of these horses and see the athleticism of them going over these fences.
Yeah, you're right. We're located in Charlottesville, Virginia, and we're running our 45th running this coming weekend, which will be really wonderful. But we've made some major investments in the track over the last couple of years. Since our new board management group has taken over, we have put some serious infrastructure and focus and money and grants into our track, and that is then in turn welcoming some really fabulous horses, some really great riders, and some of those are returning and just continuing to bring out horses in huge containers and big droves as they are just loading in from Maryland, Pennsylvania, all over. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, it's really great to see. Ticket information, you still selling tickets? You still have rail spots?
We do. We have a couple of rail spots available. People can just pull right up and tailgate right at their space. We have a couple left online at foxfieldraces.com. And we'd love to have anybody join us. So make certain to get on there quickly today or tomorrow and get those plans organized for April 27th at Fox.
Yeah, just a great venue there to see the races. Just another exquisite Virginia venue, such a big part of racing. Middleburg races today, steeplechase, these events draw. Kelsey, thanks a lot, and looking forward to catching up with you next week. And we may have dropped. We're a little concerned about that out there at Foxfield. So that's all good. Kelsey Cox doing a great job. Wanted to give you the Derby field as we know it here, saving just a little bit of time in the late half of the show. Top two horses, Sierra Leone and Fierceness. Sierra Leone has Tyler Gaffley on aboard. Todd Pletcher's Fierceness will have, for Mike Rapoli, the creator of Vitamin Water, amongst other products, will have John Velasquez aboard. Catching Freedom is a horse for Brad Cox, part of the Cox Flocks, with Flavian Pratt aboard. Stronghold, Phil D'Amato. Listen to these trainers. I mean, while we do have three Cox horses and two Gargan, they're just like, everything else is just a Hall of Fame trainer after Hall of Fame trainer. Resilience, Bill Mott does not have a jockey named yet for Resilience, the winner of the Wood. Forever Young is on the grounds at Churchill Downs. This could be the horse that breaks the Dubai jinx. Endlessly, still not really sure about the fate of Endlessly in the Derby. Does not have a rider named. Dornock, part of the Gargan horses. Danny Gargan, we had on earlier on Off to the Races in the season. Luis Saez gets the mount on Dornock. Just a Touch, Brad Cox, no rider yet. Steve Asmussen has Track Phantom. Joel Rosario, West Saratoga, Just Steel, we talked about. Lucas Asmussen, Keith Asmussen, the jockey there. Honor Marie, Domestic Product, Catalytic, Deterministic, Society Man, Mystic Dan, Encino, and T.O. Password. Want to thank everybody that came on the show today. Hope you get a chance to check out some of the live racing in Virginia. We'll have plenty more next week, opening week at Churchill Downs, and we'll have the draw at night. Thanks for spending some time with us. Want to thank everybody, Daryl Wood, Doug Fout, Darren Rogers, Keith Fustel, Mike Trombetta, Kelsey Cox. Talk to you next week, post time, 10 o'clock.